Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coco Express Show for Saturday, August 14th, 2010. And I'm your host, Aurelia. However, you are preparing yourself for another infusion of Steve Duncanson's monthly Paradigm Shifters. Let's get ready.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Again, this is Steve Duncanson, and it's my pleasure to be here with you with another edition of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. This we changed up the format just a little bit, and I am pleased to be able to have with me today on the program to work through some of these various aspects, my good friend Aurelia Lyles.
Hey.
How are we doing?
We're good. How are you?
Great. I'm really looking forward to this another edition of our program. And, you know, as I thought about, you and I had some dialogue regarding this since the last program. And I know that it was like shotguns. There were a whole lot of principles that I was passing out there and you're sharing. And it seemed like, you know, to me after a while, it seemed like I was trying to build a second floor on a basement. I don't know, it's not like that to you, right?
So yes.
Trying to get some clarity on certain things I know we wanted to do. One of the things I did want to back up on again is just talk about, reiterate why we talk about principles as opposed to opinions or theories. Because by definition, a principle is a broad and basic rule of truth. It doesn't change. It's virtually inviolate. So we can build on that sort of thing as opposed to someone's opinion or theory because they are constantly changing. And in order to be able to establish and create success in our life, we have to build on something that is going to be around for a while, something that can't be impacted by external forces. And those things are principles. And so that's really why I'm really pleased to be able to deal with that in here today. You know, and one of the other things, you know, really that you and I talked about was, you know, the difference between this aspect of changing your paradigm and the difference between that and changing your attitude and just having a great attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, quite frankly, when it's all said and done, your attitude and behavior are functions of your paradigm, meaning your paradigm comes first and the attitude and behaviors come second. And when you have a paradigm shift, that impacts everything else. And I think giving an illustration of that, I think, is best. All right?
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, it's a Sunday morning. And you're enjoying a quiet ride in the subway, if you can ever really have a quiet ride in the subway, but there are no crowds, right?
Okay.
Now, a man comes on, and he's got several children, and they get on, and the children are acting rowdy, and they're shouting, and they're disturbing others, and you become irritated by this because it's interfering on your quiet little, you know, Sunday morning ride. Finally, you say to the man, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little more." The reply comes slowly from the man. He says, "Well, I guess I should. We just came from the hospital, and their mother just died an hour ago, and I guess I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either." That you just had a paradigm shift, right?
Yes.
Because you now put yourself in that person's situation, in the light from where you were before. It's not an attitude change. It's a whole other perspective on that exact same situation. Because if it was just an attitude change, you can just say to yourself, "Oh, well, they're making noise, and I'll be happy about it anyway. I won't let it bother me." But no, the paradigm shift was now you see things differently. It's similar to putting on someone else's glasses. You see things distorted, but they don't see things that way, right? Because you're now seeing from their perspective. And I think it was important for us to understand the difference between what our paradigm is, or mindset, and simply positive thinking. Because, you know, positive thinking is good. I think it's important, the aphorisms and stuff like that. But unless you had a shift in the way that you, in your paradigm, your mindset, then ultimately getting the thing that you won't even see the things that need to be seen and moving forward. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. It really does. Okay, it's just like if you walk in a man's shoes as opposed to walking in your own, you try on your shoes, it's going to feel different and you're going to understand why they move in a certain way and why they, you know, their gait is the way it is based on how their shoes fit your feet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt. So there were a couple of principles that that you and I discussed that we wanted to kind of go back on again this session. What were those? Were there any in particular you wanted to start out with?
Okay, you know, you made a statement in the last session we had, and you said what swims around in your mind daily becomes your reality. Now, we have a lot of things that we have going on in our lives, and there are tons of things that swim around in our minds. Now, how do we kind of keep that focused on the positive and not moving towards the negative? What you mentioned, the law of correspondence, the law of the mind, the law of mental equivalency, and the law of belief. Which law would most apply to us in our day-to-day interactions?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about principles is that they are never contradicting. They never contradict each other, but yet they do complement and correspond one with another. So point being, you may have several all working at the exact same time, and just a slight nuance on each one.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I believe overall is certainly whatever you believe, and we talked about the cognitive rational theory, like that whole aspect, that what you believe determines what you think. What you think determines how you feel. How you feel determines how you act. And how you act determines your ultimate end result. And so if we had to deal with one at its core, I think it would be the law of belief, because belief is the jump-off point for everything else. Belief is akin to your mindset or your paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And what that thing is what begins to impact everything else moving forward from there. You said about there being a whole lot of thoughts that go through our mind. The reality is this, you know, we can't stop. My dad used to tell me that when I was a kid. He said, you can't stop a thought from coming to you, but you can certainly stop. He said, you can't stop a bird from sitting on your head, but you can certainly keep it from making a nest there or a mess there. Right? So the reality is this, that we choose the content of our conscious mind. That's called the law of choice. You are always free to choose the content of your conscious mind. But in doing so, you are choosing every other part of your life. You're free to choose whatever you think. And that's the thing about being human beings. We don't operate by instinct. We operate according to the choices that we make. We have the ability to choose what we will think, what we will focus on. And that's why we have to be so careful with the things that we allow to come into our mind. There are three things that affect us and impact us as human beings and influence us. Input, that's the things that we read, the things that we listen to, the things that we watch. Input, associations, obviously that would be the people that we hang around with. And environment, that's the places that we find ourselves. Because each and every one of those impact what's going to be going into our conscious mind, and then what we're going to mull over, what we're going to think over consistently. All right? And so, once again, the bottom line is this, that certainly there are a whole lot of thoughts that go through our head. So the law of subconscious activity is consistent. Yet we have to determine and choose what we will focus on. Do you remember us talking about the law of focus?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we agreed, right, that the law of focus says whatever you focus on expands. It magnifies itself.
Yeah.
It also, whatever you focus on, you hit. So whatever you constantly think about is what ultimately will manifest itself in your experience.
And isn't that kind of like the law of the mind?
The law of the mind. So, how you mean that the thoughts objectify themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's exactly what begins to happen. And I think we've all had this, and we oftentimes call it like self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, You
yes.
focus on something you think about, and next thing you know, you find yourself there. We begin to attract it to ourselves. And so being conscious and being intentional with regard to that is something that's critically important. And here's the thing, that, you know, we find whatever we're looking for, right? So if you consistently look for something, matter of fact, you know, this little story, there are two men walking down a busy street. Listen, one said to the other, what a lovely sound of a cricket. The other man said to him in puzzlement, how can you hear a cricket amid all this noise? The other man said to him, well, I'm a zoologist. Then took a coin from his pocket and dropped it on the crowded sidewalk. Immediately, people turned around. They stopped and began to look, right? Because we hear what we listen for. So because the man was a zoologist, his focus, he listens for things in nature, right? And so he's able to hear those things. But walking down a crowded, what are a lot of people thinking about? They're thinking about what is it that they need to do, what they need to accomplish in their lives. And oftentimes it has to do with money. It has to do with finance. And so we listen for the sound of money, right? Find someone, you know, you're driving down a highway and there's a whole lot of traffic. On that same night, as you're driving down the highway with this traffic, there's also a beautiful sunset that's taking place. Which one of the two do you focus in on? Because whatever you focus on is going to magnify itself. And I'm not saying, you know, that the traffic can be aggravated. There's no doubt about it. But here's the reality. If you're sitting in traffic, is there anything that you can really do about it?
No.
Right, you can't, right? So the reality is, why don't you focus on something that you want as opposed to what you don't want? But the beautiful sunset that is there. It doesn't mean to ignore the other things, because it's not about having blinders on to the other things that go on around us. It's what can I do something about? A lot of people we complain about the things that are going on. Complaining is, you know, talk is cheap. It's affordable to everybody. And so everyone can do that. But yet, taking action for what we do want as opposed to what we don't want is really what we want to be able to do in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I know we only have a couple of minutes left here.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We got plenty of time.
So says you, right?
Yeah, I know. No, I've extended our time because I really wanted to make sure that we really got to understand this law of the mind, the law, you know, because it is so important. It is so important. I find it like really difficult for me to be able to really focusing on the positive. You know, when you said that the law of choice, you know, input, associations, and environment, once you cut on a TV set, your mindset changes based on what you view. And I think the most difficult thing that I have is trying to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative.
Well, again, we have to realize this, that the normal course of the world is negative. It goes in the – because what do you have to do to grow weeds in your garden? What do you have to do?
To grow weeds?
To grow weeds in your garden. What do you have to do?
Nothing.
Exactly. Weeds grow all by themselves. You have to do something to grow the flowers that you want, right? And I think I shared a principle once before that said life is a fight for territory. When we stop fighting for what we want, what we don't want – automatically take over that territory. Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole shared that with me like many years ago. Life is a fight for territory. When we stop fighting for what we want, what we don't want, we'll automatically take over that territory. So the negative is going to continue to come to us very easily. You said that, you know, you turn on the television, these things happen. Here's where the choice comes in. What you turn on the television to watch, what do you choose? You know, do you choose to watch or listen to CNN? And you know what CNN stands for, right?
Uh-huh. Depressing news.
Constantly negative news. Exactly. Constantly negative news. And our brains, because our brains, your brains, and Darren already shared this, he says our brains weren't created to make us happy. Our brains have built into it to protect us. You know, the proverbial fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want something, we have to be intentional with regard to seeking out what we want and getting the right input. Again, the things that we're listening to, what are we reading on a regular basis? if you get up every morning and you first thing you do is you turn on the radio and you listen to the news, and then you on the way to work you read the newspaper, and then when you get to the office you listen to someone complain about what happened last night, and then your boss comes to you with all these different things that went on. You go to lunch and people are saying, "Geez, I can't wait till work is over." And then on the way from work you get on the train, and you see what I'm saying?
Right? Yeah.
So it's something that perpetuates itself. You have to consciously, intentionally do something to interject on those things to get the thing that you want and figure out what is it that I need to change my thinking. Not just have a good attitude and being where you are, though having a good attitude is important. You have to determine, what are the things that I want to focus in on? What new paradigms, mindsets are going to serve me that will allow me to not spend too much time watching the wrong things on television? Brian Tracy, in one of his writings, talked about we need to assess our E versus E quotient. That would be our entertainment versus education quotient. How much time do we spend and entertainment, and how much time we spend educating ourselves? And the reality is, if we were really to assess that, we would find that we look to do tension-relieving behaviors more than we do the behaviors that will build us.
And, I have a question. Can we play a little game here?
Okay.
Okay. You're like, uh-oh. Okay. And it's going to revolve around the cognitive reaction theory. I'm going to throw a belief out to you, and you're going to show me the positive way to change that belief. And, you know, I'm going to do the belief, the thought, the feeling, the action, the results. And you're going to spin it back to me in the proper way.
Okay. Let's see if we can.
Okay. Okay. My belief is that all women who wear high heel shoes are really silly women, because all it's going to do is ruin their legs, and they're going to be all, you know, just their life is just going to be all ruined because they're going to have bad feet and all these other things. And I think that it's just really stupid. That's why I don't wear high heel shoes, and I wear my loafers all the time.
Okay. The first thing that came to my mind as you started saying that was this, that when it comes to beliefs, you know, we can't necessarily say that a belief is right or wrong. A belief is simply what we accept as being true. If that's all it is. A belief is what we accept as being true. So the question I would have to ask you becomes this: how does that belief serving you? How's it working for you? Right? If that belief is working for you and getting you ultimately what you want, then don't wear the high heels.
Okay.
However, if the belief isn't serving you, then you need a new belief. Right? And then people that believe that people of certain races are inferior to them because it makes them feel better. Yet when it's all said and done, how's that belief serving you? Does it allow you to operate in the mainstream of society? Are you able to experience the levels of success that you want to be able to have independent of diversity in our world? And I believe our world suggests that diversity is really what allows people to achieve the most. If you look at America as a nation, our success came from the diversity of cultures and ethnicities. Not that there was any one, there were multiple. So again, if someone had the belief that, oh, I only want this kind of people, the society does not, or the resulting society does not support that as an empowering belief. That's what we have to ask ourselves. Is the belief empowering or disempowering?
Now, if I spin that around based on what you just educated me on, so to speak, if I spin it around in a more positive tone, I guess I would probably say something like, you know, I really like high heel shoes, but I don't wear them that often because they could be damaging somewhere along the line. Although some doctors recommend that occasionally to wear high heel shoes is good for your feet and your legs in general. Wearing flats all the time is not good for your arches and so on and so forth. So having a mix and wearing them alternately is good for you. And people who wear high heel shoes, you know, it works for them. But I'm going to do what's best for me.
You know, everything that as I was listening to you once again, everything you were saying sounded like me, fell in and falls into the categories of what your attitudes are and behaviors. And remember, we said that what precedes that the actions and behaviors are a function of your paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So if your paradigm, the lens through which you see the world, the frame in which you put things, is that that high heel shoes are bad for you, then no matter what anyone else says, you won't adopt the thinking, attitude, and the behaviors that will allow that to be something that you will do in your life. It will always be negative. What you've expressed, even from that perspective, is really based on, does it work for you or doesn't it work for you? Is it empowering? Is it disempowering? You can have whatever belief you want to have. No, beliefs aren't right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it creates for you that determines if something you want to hold on to or not. Some people have the belief that, college is not for me. It's not mm-hmm. for me because no one else in my family has ever gone to college. And so I'll just, when I'm 18, everyone else, I'm third, fourth, fifth generation welfare recipient. And hey, when I become 18, I get my own case. And that becomes their paradigm, which impacts their attitude and their behaviors. But now when someone introduces to you the possibility that you can go to college, that you can get a job that pays you more than minimum wage, that you can have something beyond what you've gotten, then you will go there. You think about this, like the fish only knows that it lives in water,
mm-hmm.
right? After it's already, so you don't know who created, we don't know who created this aspect of fish and water, but we know that a fish doesn't know the difference between the two, right? So bird says to the fish, how's the water? The fish says to the bird, what water? It's simply how the fish has operated, has lived all its life. It's only known that environment. It doesn't know water, right? But when it mm-hmm. finds out is when it's out of that element.
Okay.
Now it says, there is something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that's the case for all of us, that you may have been born in an environment that has created a certain paradigm for you. But once you see or experience something outside of that paradigm, you now have to think, well, why can't I have that? Is it possible for me to have that? And then you begin to cultivate the attitudes and behaviors that will get you the result on the other side.
Okay. Well, maybe I didn't use the best example of high heel shoes, but however, I am a work in progress, and that's why you're teaching, okay?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. You know. I think it was Anis Nin who said this. He says, we don't see things as they are. We see them as we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is extremely poignant. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. We see them through the glasses that we wear, the paradigm from which we operate, the associations, the input, and the environments in which we find ourselves. And if we want to be able to get something different, we have to go outside of those to be able to achieve and realize more.
Okay. Now, let's just say, for clarification's sake, if you had to kind of wrap this up and kind of like give us like a neat little package we can put in that we could take with us that we can actually use on a day-to-day, like a little project, so to speak, like some homework. What would it be?
Some homework would certainly be for to pick up a resource that will challenge your present way of your present belief, your present paradigm, that will expand you beyond where you presently are. Here's a question to ask yourself. Am I experiencing all the success in my life that I want? And success, again, it does not only have to do with money. Your health, your relationships, your job, all those things, are what constitutes success. All right, success is the progressive realization of personal goals. Ultimately, what is it that you want to see take place? So ask yourself, am I achieving and realizing what I want? And if I'm not, why not? And then what might I be able to do about it? Why am I not getting it? And if we're blaming situations or circumstances or someone else, we recognize that we're pointing in the wrong direction. We got to recognize that it begins on the inside. You know, and if we continue to get the same thing, let me just, in wrapping this up, I read something called the autobiography, an autobiography in five short chapters. Let me read them to you. Chapter one, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter two, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe it. I am in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. And that getting to that point of walking down another street is a shift in paradigm. The first four chapters were simply looking for an awareness and then a change in attitude and behavior. The last one was a change in paradigm. You no longer go down that same street. Did that make any sense to you earlier?
Yes, it does make a lot of sense. It really does. And, you know, as individuals, as human beings, we have a tendency of repeating the same thing over and over again until we realize we can change that.
Absolutely.
And once we realize that, when do we change it should be the other thing.
And well, here's the thing. When do you want the change? When do you want the results?
Right away, of course.
You know, you know. If you want the result right now, then you got to take action right now. That's what you, why wait? If you want it, because here's the other thing. Here's the reality. We all only have a limited amount of time on this earth. The reality is we don't know how much time it is. So, you know, my favorite book talks about redeem the time, right? Take action right now. Matter of fact, my acronym for now is No Opportunity Waits. If you wait, that might not be the same opportunity that was there in front of you. So what am I going to do right now to begin to make that happen? Here's what I would encourage all listeners to do even now. If you haven't picked up the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, pick up the book. Okay, pick up the book and read the book. We want to get more than simply put it on our shelf.
Yes, okay, be detailed and specific.
Pick up the book and utilize it in life and experience. Because
open it and turn the pages, please.
Yes, most definitely. And begin to work on one thing at a time. You know, you can't work on a whole bunch of things. In fact, what behavioralists tell us is this. Three things are actionable, right? Up to three things. At more and four max. More than that, you start confusing stuff, all right? It becomes a whole list of things to do, and you inundate your mind, and you can't focus, right? So you pick up the book and start, because some people say, oh, well, I don't like to read. I did a seminar not too long ago, actually just a couple of days ago, and one of the gentlemen said, as a recommended resource, he said, you know, well, I don't read too much. I said to him, I repeated to him a quote that I heard from Mark Twain. He said, the person that doesn't read has no advantage of over the person who can't read, right? So you got to begin. You got to start. You have to make it happen. Les Brown says that you don't have to be quick to get started, but you have to get started to become great. So that would be the encouragement to each and every one of you. Begin. Start.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Aurelia, I want to thank you very much for being a part of this, this phone call here today. We're looking forward to our very next one. Will take place next month. Do you happen to know the date, Aurelia?
Yes, I do happen to know the date, Steve. Okay, the next date will be the 18th of September.
September 18th. Excellent. September 18th. We'll look forward to having all of you on the call. I hope you felt like this was time invested and not time spent. And, again, I appreciate you making the investment in your time and supporting me here on Paradigm Shifters. Also, at that date, I'll be letting you know about a live presentation I'll be doing in New York City. So if you're in, we'd like to invite you to that, all right?
Okay.
Once again, everyone, thank you for being part of the program. Aurelia, thanks for helping me out. And
hey, no problem.
And look forward to talking to you all once again, all right?
Okay.
Take care, everyone. God bless.
Okay, that was Steve Duncanson, and he was helping us shape our tomorrow. I'm confused because I got so much work I need to do to work on myself, and I'm really glad we had this opportunity. Please join us next week when we will be doing a live show. We're doing a male makeover. Details on the webpage. Have a great evening. Bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.